who are here from all over North America. This weekend, we'll find out why they're coming and where they're going to find enough haggis to feed them all.
American Federation of Burnsian Societies, all great fans of Scotland's greatest poet, Robbie Burns. Two of his most ardent fans in Canada are Dr. Jim and Elma Connor of London, Ontario. They packed up their car with a collection of Burns memorabilia to show at the conference, and they brought some of those items into our studio.
Good morning, Elma.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Welcome to you both. Start with you, Jim. Were you always a Burns fan? I mean, most of us, particularly where you were born and where most of us were educated, were exposed to Burns early, but did the resonance occur for you early?
Oh, yes. I was born in a place called Motherwell in Scotland, and part of my higher education was to learn the poem Tam O'Shanter when I was about 16 or 17 years of age. And since then, my interest has been sustained and has increased during the last 60 or 70 years.
Alma, what about you? Were you a Burns fan as a schoolgirl, or did that come with a baggage with Mr. Connor?
No. I've been a Burns fan for many years. My mother and father played piano, and we sang around the piano, and they always had school competitions. And I entered the school competitions, and I have a certificate from 1938 and 1939 where I won first prize. So I'm really proud of that, and always been associated with Burns songs and poems.
Better be careful, there's a piano over there in the corner. We may put you to the test by the end of all of this. When you think of Burns, I think of them at a variety of different levels. The pure excellence of the language, beauty of the songs, the Scottish national politics inherent, the humanity inherent. Is your attraction to Burns in all of those, or in one more than the other?
Oh, I think the humanity of the man, and also that the wide-ranging knowledge that he had. He was a politician. He knew about the politics of the day. Although we hear about some of his sins, he was also a religious person. He knew the Bible. He read the Bible quite extensively.
When you said you have brought, we mentioned in the introduction, part of your collection, and it's only part of your collection.
Yes, that's all we could put in our car.
Before we talk specifically about some of the things you have here, give us a sense of the breadth of your collection, the two of you.
Well, we have books, we have artifacts, memorabilia, china, stamps, coins. What else have we got, Elmer? There's been stamps published unofficially since 1880 regarding Robert Burns, but and in 1956 the Russians published the stamp with Robert Burns's head on it. 1957 the Romanians published a stamp with Robert Burns' head, and I've got them here. But the big thing happened in 1964. There's always been an agitation in Britain that they should have a stamp with in honour and memory of Robert Burns. But in 1964, the General Post Office issued a stamp commemorating William Shakespeare. And this actually set the hair on fire. Everybody says, if you can do it for Willie Shakespeare, surely you can do it for Robbie Burns. And in 1966, the British Post Office relented, and they issued two stamps in 1966. This was the first time that the stamps had been issued. There was a fourpenny stamp, that's about 5 cents, and a one and threepence stamp, which would be about 25 cents of our money here, and they are now collector's items. I have the copy here of the first day editions of all the letters that were published with these stamps on it. It's quite interesting. On the 25th of January 1966, that this was when this first stamp was issued. And the Alleyway Post Office, which is down in Ayrshire, this is the village where Burns was born. The post office, which is in the habit of possibly franking 1,000 letters, got 40,000 letters that day. Everybody wanting to have the original 25th of January 1966 on the Robbie Burns stamp. And the post office had to be open for 3 days, punching away these stamps, hand franked. There was no machines.
How much of your life in your house
has been taken up by this stuff?
Quite a few hours, and many hours after Christmas, when we're coming close to the 25th of January, when all the Robert Burns dinners would take place. So, and making a haggis and having dinners
at home. Make your own haggis?
I have, yes, but it's difficult now to get the proper ingredients and a pluck in order to cook the ingredients in. But we still have private dinners in our home, and it's a fun time. Good
I
time.
Say to all these Burn suppers, Elma does a great rendition of a dress to a haggis. She is the one that does that. And last year, the both of us did a double act as the toast of the lassies, and I did the toast and Elma did the reply, and we did it all in rhyme, which was quite a novelty. And but Elma's at her best when she's delivering Fair for your own sonsy face.
That sounds like a cue to me. I'm not the world's smartest guy, but that sounds like a cue to me.
Well, this is addressed to a haggis by Robert Burns. Fair for your honest sonsy face, great chieftain o' the puddin' race, I've been them all you tak your place, pinch, tripe, or therm. Weel are you worthy o' a grace as lang's my errum. You're grown in trencher there, ye fill. Your hardies like a distant hill. Your pin would help to mend the mill in time o' need, while through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. That's the first two verses. And of course, haggis is very good if it's laced with a little drop of Drambuie.
As a matter of fact, I think we had a little single malt wash down the haggis the time we had it here a couple of years ago. Which is a little tougher at that hour in the morning. I'm not used to it. What's your favorite? You learned Thomas Shatter first. What's your favorite Burns poem?
Well, my favorite Burns poem would be An Epistle to a Young Friend. Now, it's quite interesting. Lots of people say they don't understand Robert Burns, but 80% of all his poems are written in the English language with English words. There are certain keywords, of course, that if you don't get them, you've lost the sense of the poem. But when Robert Burns was 27, he wrote what was called An Epistle to a Young Friend. And this young friend was Andrew Aiken, who was the son of Robert Aiken, who was one of the fellows who helped Burns publish the Kilmarnock edition of his works. And this young fellow, Andrew Aiken, was only 10 years younger than Burns, but Burns, being streetwise and worldly-wise, thought he would give Andrew Aiken. And it's quite a long poem, but the first verse of his: Along he thought, my youthful friend, a something to have sent you, although it served the other end, and just a kind memento, and how the subject theme may gang, let time and chance determine, perhaps it may turn out a sang, perhaps turn out a sermon. And he goes on and he tells Andrew Aiken of all the pitfalls of life, and he had them, and he says, don't do the same as I did, and I am full of remorse for what I did, and hopefully, I mean, you don't do the same. I mean, he brought in a religious theme, and when my two young sons were growing up, I read to them An Epistle to a Young Friend, which I felt was something that if they kept these tenets all their life, that they wouldn't go too far wrong.
It's lovely. You're in great territory. If you pass some of this along, or you have lots of locals. I think you even brought sort of a little, you know, one of the, is that a water jug that you have there, Elma?
This one is one that was distributed by John Dewar and Sons Limited Distillers in Perth. And this was during Queen Victoria's reign that they produced it. It's made by Royal Doulton. And I would imagine that it was full of whiskey at some time, but
not for a long time, I don't think.
Evaporated since then.
Evaporated is one word for it.
This would be in the late 1800s, and it has a picture of Robert Burns on one side, and of a drawing, I would think, of Eyre and Sir Walter Scott, and possibly the Borders.
you have there a water jug with a difference, which might be an appropriate kind of little theme for us to go out on.
Right. Thank you, this ma'am. Is made by a Devon Company, and it plays Auld Lang Syne and has a picture of Tam O'Shanter and his cronies before he makes his journey over the bridge.
Well, you make your journey here. We thank you very much for bringing some of this in. It was great to meet you both. Thank you very much, Alma.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure being here.
Jim Connor was the first president and founder of the North American Federation of Bernsian Societies, and the public can see the collection he and his wife Elma have put together on Saturday from 1 until 5, and on Sunday from 2 until 5, that's at the Citadel Inn in Halifax. That's the cheeriest Auld Lang Syne I've ever heard.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a wonderful collection of stuff they have, and a small fraction.